Welcome, everybody. It is so good to see you. It is so good to see you. And I think you might get a bit of a surprise at this particular moment. And for those who don't usually come here, we do ask you to do this every now and then. And it's not too painful. You've just got to look at other people. But the reason I'm saying it today is that God has blessed us with a whole lot of different people. So if you'd like to look sideways or backwards or whatever you want to do, just have a look and see who's in the building. Because if you sit in the front row, like Adam here, he's sitting in the front row, there could be nobody here for all he knows. So, now that wasn't too painful, was it? It's good to know who you're worshipping with. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all your good gifts. And Lord, I want to thank you for the wonderful gift that you've given to us in one another. You've given us a gift today of people we've never seen before, we've never met before. Thank you, Lord, for your great love to us. Thank you that you will give yourself to us today. Help us to have open hands and open hearts, open eyes and open ears to meet you and to enjoy being with you. Amen. You know what I'm like. I'm Stephen, I'm the minister, and I love seeing people, and particularly people I've not met before. So if I go all a bit of a kerfuffle now for the rest of the service, I blame you, those people who come today for the first time. It's all your fault. And I make no apologies. I've got a few notices, and that means we're alive. Who's alive today? Yes? Oh, that's good. Of course, nobody would put their hand up if they weren't, but that's fine. Right, the couple of notices for you. Firstly, thank you for those who did Messy Church yesterday, both came, helped, prayed, planned. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was the scripture verse. Wonderful. So thank you to everybody who did that. Thank you for everybody who came to our church meeting. We had a good time on Tuesday. Church meetings are good occasions. We were thinking about particularly making disciples, how we make disciples. And people shared a lot about that. There are minutes of the meeting. That's the boring stuff on the front side, all the business stuff. But the back side of these notes, and they're on the table outside, and you've had them emailed, those who are on the church email list. What can I do? And it was the various responses that people made, which have all been collated, so we know what the sort of mood of the meeting was and so on. So do look at these notes. It makes very interesting reading, and what we're doing on Deacons on Monday night and in the weeks forward will be actioning things that have come out of that meeting. So thank you so much for coming and praying. Now we have a dreaded clipboard with a pen. Now that means action. And I'm so pleased we have some younger people in today. I reckon they're bucket-carrying people. Do you reckon? Now, those who know what I'm talking about will realise, have we got bucket-carrying people? See, Ollie, when you were baptised, a certain Andrew and his son Eric did a lot of emptying. So it's payback time. So no excuses. So seriously, we have under here a pool with no water in it. By next Sunday, there will be water in it because we're going to be baptizing Andrew, a confession of faith. And we'll explain all about what that means next week. But we have no way of getting the water out at the moment. It's not possible to pump it out using or drain it out. We have a little pump and we have lots of willing volunteers. I'm so pleased they're really in agreement. This is an empty sheet that needs names on it. Just have fun. It's the best. It's one of the best bits of the day. Is the fun that people have, just being together, doing something fun. Andrew, thank you for organising in advance everything that's needed to be done with Paul's help and so on. It's really appreciated. But this needs some names on it. Coming to Andrew and Paul, twin brothers born today. So it's happy birthday to Paul and Andrew. And there's another birthday coming up at the end of the week. We're going to cover that one next Sunday because we can only cope with three names at a time. So we've got Paul, Andrew, and Josie, whose birthday it was 2 days ago. Has anybody else got a birthday that we've missed? Yes. Oh, when's yours, Linda?
17th of April.
17th of April? Oh. I was thinking it was during the week. So, Linda, bless you, Linda. Whoever's not come here before, you think you have entered the twilight zone. This is wonderful. Brilliant. So, we have got Andrew, Paul, Josie, and Linda, and anybody else whose birthday has been forgotten in the entire year, you're in it as well, all right? Can we see? And you're not going to play it. I can't see it, so it's over to you.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you.
What's going to happen next week? Wonderful. It's strange, isn't it? You have that, and then you also had deaths. And we have three ladies who are promoted to glory, who are fully alive, but their earthly bodies have died. And so we mourn, as well as we have hope, we also mourn them not being here. And this week, as it happens, they're all coming together. So we have Janet on Tuesday. Her funeral will be in St. John's Parish Church. Could you just confirm the time for me, Christine? 11 o'clock. So it's 11 o'clock, St. John's Parish Church, then Janet, which is Christine's sister. At 10 o'clock here on Thursday, we have a service, a funeral service for Betty. Everyone's welcome. Do come. Celebrate her life, as well as mourning her loss, our loss. We also have that hope, as we say, of her being in heaven, which is going to be good to celebrate that together. In some ways, this will be the one we can all be together here, but we'll be thinking of the other two as well, because the third person is Jean Elizabeth, Jean Norton. The family have asked for a private funeral, which will be on Friday at 10 o'clock, And Sheila's going to just be doing that for them, just a very quiet, private affair. But the family have said on Wednesday, between 11 and 1, at the Co-op's Chapel of Rest, Jean's coffin will be there. She won't be there. Her body will be there, but she won't be there. But if you'd like to say goodbye to Jean for the time being, there's an opportunity, 11 till 1, on Wednesday. So it's a strange thing. We have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then we come to baptism on Sunday, where we think you're dying and rising. So it's a really strange week. We're away for a couple of weeks' holiday at the end of this week, after Sunday. And it feels as strange as God saying, right, well, before you go, there's just a few things to be involved with. But it's the family. That's what we do as a family. And one thing I just wanted to say, I meant to say at the church meeting, and I'm sorry these notices are going along with the normal, but it's a serious point that these cause. If you haven't spoken to family, friends, minister, somebody about your funeral, do have a think about doing that. It is very rarely when I meet with families that have had any conversation at all. And this week's events is no exception, that what you might want won't happen unless you share it with somebody. And so I know we don't like talking about death, but I'm talking about it now, because then I personally have a much better time arranging things for people, because we know what you want. Right, I think that's almost all. Just one quick thing that Richard wants to bring to us. Come to this stand, Richard.
I did just want to share something with you that happened on Thursday. But this is sort of carries on from the church meeting on Tuesday. And I would say, if you weren't there, you missed something. I nearly didn't go. I was worn out on Tuesday, but I did. And I'm glad I did. And there's a follow on from this. I was just talking to Jean beforehand. I said, I am a bit nervous at the moment. So I said, because I'm going to get up and say something. So she said, well, I hope it's not boring. And I don't think it will be. Because if it is, it's the way I've said it. On Thursday, I got up, thought I'll phone somebody using my mobile phone, and I could hear them ever so clearly, but they couldn't hear me at all. So I thought, I don't know what to do. Right, I'll go to Curry's where I bought it from, and perhaps they'll be able to help. And I think help is the word. Because when I got there, she said, oh no, we can't touch it. We can't do anything. Nothing. She couldn't say what it could be, what it might be. No, nothing. So I came away and got to the bus stop. And there was a man there. He did have a bottle of something to which I think was making him a little bit alcoholic. A little bit drunk, perhaps. And I can't remember how it is that I got talking about the fact of my phone. So he said, oh, well, give it to me and I'll have a look at it, you see. Well, he did. You know, you think, gosh, this is somebody I don't know. And then he came out with something. He said, I've just left prison this morning, he said. And I did agree with him. He said, at 9 o'clock, he said, I've got an appointment at 4 o'clock. What do they expect me to do between then and now? Particularly if you've got nowhere to go. And I tell you, there was an intake of breath from the rest of the bus queue, and they all moved down to the end. So there was only me. So then I started thinking about Tuesday, sharing some of the things as to why I am a member of this church and what God had done for me. Now, I'm not trying to make it sound that I'm, you know, good or this or that or anything. I just want to share it with you. Because for me to turn round and to share with somebody I don't know is the same as jumping off Niagara Falls and I'm going through the air. And I tell you, over the years, it doesn't get any better. My father was very quiet and he was a lovely, lovely man. My mother was more of an extrovert, but the pair of them got together ever so well. And I think this has made that little bit of reticence and finding it difficult. It's the Englishness as well. Unless I've been introduced to somebody, I find it extraordinarily difficult to say the first few words. So I did share with him, and he stopped and listened. He did fix my phone, but it only worked for a very short period of time, because by the following day it was just as bad. Yeah, I did talk to him, and he was a bit taken aback. I think a lot of people are, and perhaps so they should be, if they know nothing about Jesus whatsoever. And I did end up by saying to him, well, if ever you're part, and you knew where the Baptist church here is, I said, if ever you're going past on a Friday morning, I said, if you want to come in for tea and coffee and a biscuit or something, I said, you're more than welcome to do that. And there's no cost. People don't understand, do they, that if you offer something and there's no cost, we live in a world where everything costs an enormous amount. So they stop and want to know why. So I had quite a long chat with him. So who knows, he might turn up one Friday morning for our tea and coffee. I said, if I'm not there, just say Richard sent me. But yeah, it was from that Tuesday meeting about pushing myself, going over Niagara Falls and talking to somebody. There's so many people out there who, even without realizing it, need to know more about what Jesus has done for each and every one of us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Richard. God is a God of surprises. To lead us into worship inspired by what Richard shared with us, let's hear some words from Peter. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for bringing us to here today. Help us to worship you. Help us to respond to your great mercy and love. Draw us to your side. Draw us to your throne. Help us to express our hearts to you. Amen.
Amen.
We have a few songs of worship. When we worship, you're welcome to sit, to stand, to go outside with a breath of fresh air, to use the instruments. This is our time together to be ourselves in worship.
Come on, Lord.
Thank you. we thank you that you are here with us today. Father, we thank you that we are free to come and sing your praises. Thank you, Father, we're free to worship you at any time, of any minute, of any day that we want to. Father, may we never take that freedom for granted.
As friends, we're the beloved. He loves us so much. We're going to sing a song now called O Perfect Love. O perfect love, O perfect sacrifice, fountain of life poured out for me.
And to whom shall I run? In whom shall I hide? you, Jesus, we have that hope. That our hope is that, Father, our future is in you. It's in you on this earth, it's in you in heaven. May we never give up on that hope that you give to us.
Please be seated and oh, you're on. We're in Jesus. Let's play in that place. We're going to take up our offering now. If you've come prepared to give money to the work of God, then feel free to contribute. But if you've not come, that's absolutely fine. We want you, not your money. So let the bag pass you by as it goes. But there's one way of expressing love for Jesus is to give to his work. Father, we thank you for your great love for us, and thank you that you include us in your plans, and you invite us to give to you of that which you have given us. So bless these gifts, we pray. Multiply that many more people come to know of your great love. Amen. Right, we've come to our reading. Sorry, Andrew, it's back up again. And I would ask you to keep your Bibles handy after the reading, because you might want to look at the passage again and also a bit earlier on. And Harry and Connie, particularly, listen out, because I'm going to be setting you a task in a moment, and the reading is where the task comes from.
The reading is Zechariah, chapter 6, if you'll find it on page 952 in the Church Bible. I looked up again, and there before me were four chariots coming out from between two mountains, mountains of bronze. The first chariot had red horses, the second black, the third white, and the fourth dappled. All of them powerful. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, "What are these, my lord?" The angel answered me, "These are the four spirits of heaven going out from standing in the presence of the Lord of the whole world. The one with the black horses is going towards the north country, the one with the white horses towards the west, and the one with the dappled horses towards the south." When the powerful horses went out, they were straining to go throughout the earth. And he said, "Go throughout the earth." So they went throughout the earth. Then he called to me, "Look, those going towards the north country have given my spirit rest in the land of the north." The word of the Lord came to me, "Take silver and gold from the exiles Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah, who have arrived from Babylon. Go the same day to the house of Josiah, son of Zephaniah. Take the silver and gold and make a crown and set it on the head of the high priest, Joshua, son of Jozadak. Tell him, 'This is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is the man whose name is the branch. and he will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne. And he will be a priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two. The crown will be given to Heldai, Tobijah, Jediah, and Hen, son of Zephaniah, as a memorial in the temple of the Lord. Those who are far away will come and help to build the temple of the Lord, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. This will happen if you diligently obey the Lord your God.
I hadn't thought about it, but you can see now why I asked Andrew to do that reading. Thank you, Andrew. You handled those names wonderfully. When you first heard that reading, you must have thought, hold on a moment, this sounds like something out of Revelation, these horses and everything else. Now, Connie will be back in a moment, so I'll do Harry first. Right, Harry, what I've got for you is a crown in the making, okay? So, in that reading we just heard, there are four chariots pulled by four different lots of colours of horses. So on the bit of paper you had, have you got one of those? Got one of those? No, I'll bring it back in a moment. On a big bit of paper, if you want to, you can do four chariots with four lots of horses. And then the second vision was of a crown. And this is your crown. I have some sellotape at the front later on to stick it, but to be decorated, and I'll get your pack for you. So you've got it. Ah, you've done it. Perfect. Thank you, Jean. That's wonderful. So, Connie, I've already measured your head, and I know that this crown is big enough for you. So, two things to do. Firstly, on that bit of paper, if you look at the reading, and someone will help you find it, Zechariah chapter 6, because you'll need the reading, it's four chariots pulled by four different colour horses, which is amazing. So that's on the picture, and here, Joshua gets a crown. Joshua gets a crown, and this is a crown for you to decorate with pen, but also some stickies there. Okay, so if you'd like to, a crown, which we can see your crown later on, and four chariots pulled by four different lots of horses. You'll have to read it. I can't, it just doesn't make sense. It's right. It is weird, that reading, particularly if you've walked in today and you haven't read chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You suddenly turn up and this reading comes from the Bible. What on earth is going on with this particular part of the Bible? Whenever we read the Bible, we need to read it in context. We need to see what's been going on before. The book of Zechariah starts. This prophet goes to the people who've come back from exile in Iraq, Babylon. They've arrived back in the promised land. And God says, return to me. That's the message of Zechariah. It's return to me. Come back to me. The people have been exiled because they've disobeyed God. They've gone off on other gods. And God says, come back to me. God's people have sinned. God allowed them to be conquered and taken away from their land as punishment. But his heart is always that they come back. So he says in Zechariah chapter 2, come, come, flee from the land of the Lord, declares the Lord. For I have scattered you to the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord. They've been scattered. And that comes to that first vision. I had to read it a couple of times because my eyes went to the horses, the different colours. But it's chariots pulled by horses. What's it all about? They represent, as it says, the four spirits of heaven, the four winds of heaven. Spirit and wind are the same word. God has scattered his people to the four winds. It's an expression we use even today. North, south, east and west, the four corners of the earth, as we call it. The four winds have scattered. That's where God's people have gone. Having been scattered, God's people need to be brought back from the surrounding nations and all the nations that they've been scattered to. I find it really interesting, and I have no explanation for this really, so it's something because I haven't had time to get other commentaries of books and go through the internet, but you could do some research. Did you notice there was one missing? One missing. There's horses going to the north. Whose horse? Which of the horses going to the north? Black. Which horses going to the west? Well, your direction, the west. Which horses go to the west? The white. Which horses are going to the south? Dappled. Which leads the red ones, put in the chariot, to the east? No mention. But God wants everybody to come to him. So what that's about? Babylon itself was to the east. Sin had been sent to the east, and that was in our chapter last week. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Maybe it's the exiled had come from the east. They'd already come from that direction. So it's the other direction. I don't know. Something for you to think about. The important thing to note is that God is sending out the chariots, the horses, to the whole earth. And then there's a particular focus on the north. Look, those going towards the north country have given my spirit rest in the land of the north. What's special about the land in the north? Well, chapter 2, verse 6, I just read out earlier. Come, come, flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord. The attacks on Israel normally came from the north. That's the direction you got to the Babylonians and the Assyrians and everybody else. Maybe that's why God said, that place from which attacks usually come, they're not going to come anymore. My spirit has found rest. We've dealt with what we needed to deal with there. He's satisfied now with the condition of the land to the north. God is at peace. Big stuff, isn't it? What relevance is this to us? This happened 2,500 years. This word was spoken 2,500 years ago. What message? Andrew read out an interesting word that's repeated twice. And he did it. It sounded like the word means. Did you hear it at the beginning? Have a look. What word did we hear that looked, sounded like it is? It was powerful. Powerful. I looked up again, and there before me were four chariots coming from behind two mountains, mountains of bronze. And the horses, all of them were powerful. Powerful. These powerful horses were going out. What's that about? When the powerful horses went out, they were straining to go out throughout the earth. God is doing what he wants to do. He has the power. Bronze is a symbol of power. Horses were a symbol of power. How did you have motor cars? No. What do we use to denote how much power an engine has? Horsepower. We're still doing it now. Horsepower. These were powerful horses. What's that doing? That's saying God is doing what God wants to do. And his spirit is a spirit of power. That's why our scripture for this year is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, declares the Lord. And that comes from Zechariah. God is doing what he wants to do. God loves all the people in the whole world. God is not just a God of power, he's a God of love. And he wants everybody of all nations, all lands, to come to him to receive forgiveness and eternal life. Our Bible reading today was from 2 Peter. And it said God wants nobody to repent. Nobody to perish. He wants everybody to repent. Sorry, I got that wrong. Turned into a Calvinist then. Right. God wants everyone to repent because he wants nobody to perish. He wants everyone to have eternal life. That is God's heart. And that's why, if you take nothing else from this weird but true prophetic message from the Lord, that God is going out through the whole world saying, come back to me. I made you. You belong to me. Come to me. Come to me. I love you. Right. Second vision. A crown for Joshua. That's a bit more straightforward. I don't get to have to read out the names of the people. Thank you, Andrew. A whole group of people have got gold and silver. They've just come back from the east. They've just come back from Babylon. They've come back from exile, and they've got gold and silver with them, amazingly. And they're told to make a crown for Joshua. So again, if you've just turned up today, or you've forgotten completely what we've done before, which is perfectly reasonable, or you weren't here, who's Joshua? Joshua is the high priest. He's the one who stands before God to pray for the people of God, and particularly once a year, to be forgiven, Day of Atonement, to be forgiven, to be clean. Joshua has been cleansed from his sin, and he's been given new clothes to wear, rich garments. He's called to govern the house and courts of God. The house and courts of God are the people of God. Symbolic language. So Joshua is in charge of God's people. He's to pray for us. But he's much more than this. He's much more than this. Joshua is a symbol of one who is to come. We read earlier in chapter 3. Listen, High Priest Joshua, you and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come, I am going to bring my servant, the branch. This is very weird, isn't it? Horses are now branches. The branch. That was in chapter 3, verse 8. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua. There are seven eyes on that one stone. And I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty. And I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. Chapter 3, verse 9. A stone. Through this action, the Lord will bring long-term peace to the people and their neighbors. Verse 10 of chapter 3. In that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. So chapter 3 is saying Joshua, this high priest, is a symbol of things to come. Look at a branch, a stone that creates peace, that gets rid of sin in a single day. Now, some of us who've been in church for a while or read the Bible quite a bit might suddenly think, hold on a moment, branch, stone, remove the sin of this land in a single day. Which day is that? It's Good Friday. This prophecy is saying, this is chapter 3, remember, that there is coming somebody that Joshua is a symbol of. So he looks a bit like him. He's pointing the way to him. Someone is coming called the branch, called the stone. What do we have at the beginning of our service? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The branch, the stone, and through whom the sin of the entire land will be removed in a single day. There's only one day when the sin of the whole land disappears. The Day of Atonement dealt with the sin of the people for that moment, for that year, and Joshua dealt with, was the high priest, and he would be there on that Day of Atonement. But there came a day when, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Who knew there was so much in Zechariah chapter 3? And so, what does chapter 6, the one we're reading today, tell us about the branch that is Joshua and that points to Jesus? In that day, the branch of the Lord will will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Sorry, that's Isaiah. Just need to give you an extra couple of quotes from Isaiah. The branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. And another one that you would have heard read before, perhaps at Christmas time. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, which is David's father. So this is David, from David's family. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Two readings from Isaiah that say there's a branch coming, part of David's family. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon him, and it's all pointing to Jesus. So, now we come to Zechariah chapter 6. You have to have an intro, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. It says, now we're at Zechariah 6, the reader we had today. Here is the man whose name is the branch, and he will branch out from this place and build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne, and there'll be harmony between the two. Joshua, in those days, is going to build up the people spiritually. Zerubbabel, his co-leader, king, is going to build the physical temple. But Joshua is going to rule over them, combining roles of priest and king. It's not normally permissible in Israel. Priests don't normally sit on thrones. Who saw the coronation of King Charles? Who was on the throne? King Charles. Who put the crown on him? The Archbishop of Canterbury. What happens if the Archbishop of Canterbury thought, oh, this is good, I like this throne, I'll sit on the throne with this crown on my head? Everything would fall apart. The royal protocol people would have a heart attack. All that practicing, all that rehearsing. The Archbishop of Canterbury does not belong on the throne. It's more radical even than that, this saying, that Joshua, the high priest, will sit on the throne. This is completely new. And why is it there? Because it's pointing, who to? Pointing to Jesus, who is the high priest, the priest in the order of Melchizedek. You can read in Hebrews chapter 7, all about Jesus being a priest. And he's king. This is the Messiah, the messianic King Jesus, who is high priest and king. He's in heaven praying for us. He's a priest praying for us, but he's also king ruling over us. Go home and get excited about it. I know it's a lot to take in. This is something to think about and reflect upon. This is all for our benefit. This was all written down so we might hear and understand. In Joshua's time, confirmation would come that he is the one God has chosen for the task of building up the people of God, bringing people to worship God. It will be confirmed by the fact that people from far and wide will all come, and that will be confirmation that Joshua is the right person for the job. And there's one thing that Joshua has to do, and you'll see it at the end of that passage. All this will come to pass, God says, if you diligently obey the Lord your God. Diligently obey the Lord your God. That's what Jesus did. And I believe that's what the three ladies who were celebrating this week and saying goodbye to this week did. They diligently obeyed the Lord their God. So, in summary, God's heart is for the whole world. You can't go any further than north, east, south, and west. That covers the whole thing. And it includes you and me. He wants everybody to come to him with repentance and faith, to be forgiven by Jesus through what he did on a single day on the cross. And then to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, diligently obeying the Lord, following Jesus' example. Jesus is building his church. It's his body. And we also are the temple, the body of Christ. We said that right at the beginning. You're a temple of living stones. Jesus has work for us to do. Worship as those who are living stones in the temple of the Lord, and service. He calls us his servants, and he wants all of us to serve him. The Holy Spirit at Pentecost was poured out, males and females, rich and poor, slave and free. He wants all of us to be in the kingdom, serving him. He calls us his friends because he tells us what his business is. But there's something more, and this is the last thing, so I know it's been a lot to take in today. It's the last bit. Not only are we children of God, which we heard the other week, servants of God, friends of God, we are a royal priesthood. I'm looking at a whole lot of kings and queens and a whole lot of priests. The word says that we are already seated with Christ in heavenly realms. And one day we will rule and reign with him. Right now, we can be priests that pray for others in the name of Jesus. And he will give us what we ask for. The word we heard at the very beginning of the service, that call from Peter, said, you once were no people, now you are God's people. You are a royal priesthood. So it's not my making up, it's not something I'm taking from Zechariah and say, I'm making this up. This is there in the Bible. So, you know, I got you to look at each other earlier on. I'm not going to do it again now, but you didn't know you were looking at a whole lot of kings and queens, did you? So, hallelujah, what a saviour. Jesus is king, but he saves us and makes us a royal priesthood. What an amazing grace that we are who we are. Now, how far are we getting on with the crowns and the horses? I can see the doer. Is your crown done? Oh, would you like to bring it up? Do you want to come on up, show us your crown? Or shall I come to you? Am I? You going to come up here? Come up here that I can attach your crown. That's right, you've got plenty of time, Connie. We'll do yours later. Oh, look at this. This is good. Right, come and stand up here, Karen, and face everybody else, and we're now going to crown King Harry. Is that right? Do you want to wrap it round? You can wrap it round. There you go. So we'll go round, and then a bit of overlap. That's looking good. Looking good. We'll attach. Oh, that's your hair. Sorry about that. Right, is that done? Hikari, excellent. Thank you very much. Excellent. Connie, should we do yours later? Yeah, do yours later. Remember, as you look at the pictures that Connie and Harry have done, the chariots pulling the horses show us that God is reaching out to the whole world. No one excluded. And as you think about the crowns, King Harry, remember who we become in Christ. He has high hopes for us. And one final thought. Some of you may have heard that the Queen said, Queen Elizabeth, she wanted Jesus to come back in her lifetime so she could cast her crown before Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that is so profound, so deep, but also so simple. You love us. You love the whole world. God so loved the whole world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes him would not perish, but have eternal life. And thank you, Jesus, that you've shown us through your word thousands of years ago that there would come a day when you would deal with sin across the whole land. We thank you, Jesus, that you came, that you died, and that you rose again. And when we come to you in faith, we can be forgiven of anything and everything. And we thank you, Jesus, that you want us to rule with you, to be on your throne with you, to be in heaven with you. Not just in heaven with on a fluffy cloud with a harp, but you want us to be ruling and reigning and rejoicing, both now and forever. Lift our eyes, Lord, we pray, beyond this world, that we might see our destiny and then get stuck into this world that others might come to know. Just like Jesus, just like those four winds of heaven, you want us to go out into the whole world and share the good news in our own way, as we heard Richard share earlier. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit to do just that. Amen. What I'd like us to do is to pray. We're going to not do our next song. What I'd like us to do is to pray. And I'm mindful today is Father's Day. Many people may be thinking about that. In terms of our praying for the world, we could pray for anyone and everyone. And we could be here all day, and we're not going to do that. There will be particular people you're thinking of, as I said, about the whole world. There may be someone, relatives you've got overseas or people you know overseas. God is there calling to them. You might want to pray for them. But also today you might want to pray for dance. Either thanking God for dance or praying blessing on dance. Some people can't be dance and would love to be, or they don't see their children. Some children have never known their fathers, or have lost fathers who died at an early age. It's a whole mixed up of emotions today when we think about fathers. But do pray, come to the Lord for yourself, and as priests, come and pray for others, either inwardly in your heart or out loud. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you love every father in the whole world, no matter how good they are being a father or how badly they're doing, or even if they know that they are a father. Lord, we thank you for your great love. We thank you that you understand what it's like for family situations to be difficult. You were illegitimate. Your human father was not your real father. You were adopted by this beautiful man, Joseph. And then you were bereaved. And your father died young. So Jesus, we know you understand every situation. You've lived so much of it yourself, and you've seen everything that goes on. Thank you for your compassion. Amen.
Son-in-law, Andy, dearly loved members of our family, and you're reaching out to them, but they don't seem to realise it, and they don't seem at the moment to have hearts ready to receive Jesus. Lord, we pray you will change that situation, and that you will grant many prayers that loved ones in our family will turn to the Lord and be saved in our lifetime. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
The Claire and Sue Shaw, who do a lot of our flowers and so on, they were responsible for making sure that on Mothering Sunday, all the ladies in our church had gifts. And neither Claire or Sue could be here today, but they still wanted to make sure, men, that you have gifts. Because what's good for the duck is good for the gander, or whatever it is. You know the expression. So if it's good enough for the ladies, it's good enough for the men. So Debbie has kindly offered, with whatever help, whether you want to help Connie, you're very welcome to help, or Harry, if you want to help, he probably doesn't, but if he does, that's great. Men, you get a gift. So Debbie, could you just distribute these for us? And Connie, if you'd like to help, you're welcome. Spot a man and give them to them. That would be lovely. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Perfect. Thank you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Thank you. Wonderful. Psalm 107, verse 1. Brill. No hiding, men. No hiding. You will be found. Has everybody got one? Yes, yeah, that's the one I just read. Yeah, no, I have one, I have one. Has every man got one? Great, excellent. Thank you, Debbie. Right, we're done. Thank you very much. We're going to close our service with a declaration that Jesus will reign forever, and he's big enough to deal with whatever we have going on in our lives today.
Forever, his power and forever endure. And
Amen. And Peter finishes his letter, the one we started with these wonderful words. Peace, shalom, to all of you who are in Christ. Amen.